Doing anything exceptionally well requires commitment and perseverance. The result of such efforts are those things that enjoy high regard and stand the test of time. We are driven to create exceptional radio by bringing together talent, creativity, determination, preparation, and painstaking craftsmanship. Anything less would not be worth the effort. The Common Man Program starts right now.
And boom! Why should anybody aspire to be a common man, an average man? Do you realize what it means to be average? That means you're the best of the lousiest. And the lousiest of the best. Now, if we demand more and more for producing less and less, while the have-not nations encourage and inspire and indeed require hard work and maximum effort, if we deify the common men while they encourage and reward the uncommon ones, well, the end result of such a lopsided race as that is too obvious to require elaboration.
I mean, it's like, hello?
Play some important minutes here, Jim. Jared Bayless could also factor in this. Oh, my goodness. Tyus throws it up and gets it to drop.
I love it that it was against Dennis Schroeder.
Six to shoot. Wiggins pulls up for the two, and Andrew feeling the confidence.
Unbelievable.
When I'm with you.
That's all those guys in there. It's unbelievable how they just stay connected throughout the whole game. Down the stretch, just there were so many times where we could have, you know, disbanded, and then the crowd could have gotten to us. But I can't say enough about that team.
We're coming.
Optics in your mirror may be closer than they appear.
The Timberwolves escape. Ryan Saunders 1-0 in his NBA coaching career in a game that goes right down to the wire.
It happened so fast, but my first thought was just proud of these guys. I mean, that was the main thing. You know, it's just it is a surreal moment. Obviously, one that, you know, you don't necessarily ask for in the middle of a season to come into a situation like this. But I respect that. But it was a surreal moment for myself. Yeah.
Kept it together. That's as a team, man. We came out and we played like a team the whole night, through all the adversity, through everything that was happening against us, through all the odds that we got put into. We came out alive, and we did a great job finishing the game out.
Multi-action offensive sets.
Coach put the ball in my hands at the end. You know, I just... so I did the best I could, you know, to get everyone involved and try and make, you know, the plays we needed to win.
What do you think of my defense now?
Yeah! You say?
I just want to say, you doubted us, but now we're here.
I'm not going to say a lot of people counter us out. I heard Dan call on K-Fan.
Hey, we're not live right now.
But I heard Dan call on K-Fan say, I don't want to hear that, so I'm not going to say that a lot of people counter us out.
No, I didn't like the way we were playing in sack. So I just told him, hey, you're going to live and die with me. If don't nobody like it, sit your ass down right here. Don't come out here. But we coming through me. You know, that's why I like Sam to come in. You know, I let them do their things for 3 quarters. Come 4th quarter, bring it to the ticket.
1 year ago, we knocked on the door. This year, we beat on the door. Next year, we're going to kick the son of in.
We're coming.
Optics
just in your mirror may be closer than they appear.
Hell no, we're going to go to playoffs here. I'll tell you that right now. Only the beginning. Enjoy the season. Only the beginning.
Only the beginning. Yes! Take that! Only the beginning.
Hawks! Flew back to Capistrano.
Celtics!
Suffered an identity crisis after Doc Emmerich told them their name is pronounced Celtics.
Bobcats!
Feel grown up and now prefer to be called Robert Cats.
Bulls!
Moved to Pamplona, Spain to fulfill one of their bucket list items.
Cavaliers!
Nobody really likes them, but they were the cheapest car Chevrolet made during the 80s.
Mavericks!
Went into a deep depression after their best friend Goose died.
Nuggets!
Made out of pink sludge.
Pistons!
Nobody realized it, but they're banned from playing on network television because of their name is one of the seven dirty words.
Warriors!
Went out to play.
Rockets!
Defunded by NASA.
Pacers!
Discontinued by AMC in 1980.
Clippers!
Miscalculated their coupons and had to pay full price.
Lakers!
Dried up by the California drought.
Grizzlies!
Not as intimidating after people realized they were descendants of General Ben.
Heat!
That's an old joke. Turned out it wasn't them at all. It was the humidity.
Bucks.
Shot by a drunk guy in an orange jumpsuit.
Nets.
Relocated to Moscow after realizing Brooklyn isn't as cool as everybody said it was.
Hornets.
Going extinct because everybody's killing off their dandelions.
Knicks.
Changed their name to Nicholas and nobody likes them.
Thunder.
Found out the big money was down under.
Magic!
They're actually just an optical illusion.
76ers!
Collecting Social Security.
Jazz!
Became passé after being overplayed as bumper music by Dan Barrero.
Sons!
Told their dad they hate him during a teenage hormone-fueled rant and moved in with their mom and stepdad.
Trailblazers!
Broke a wheel on their wagon and all died of starvation or dysentery.
Kings!
Done in by queens and guillotines.
Spurs!
Turns out it's illegal to jingle jangle in Texas.
Raptors!
Never really existed because they were made up by God-hating liberals spewing evolutionary propaganda to try and make people think God didn't create the world in 7 days.
Wizards!
Had to move out when Waverly Place was taken over by elf drug lords.
They're all dead!
They're all dead! It's only the beginning, and I'm just so happy that you started to do the things you've never done that will make you good, though I think the real reason you did a only the beginning montage for the Wolves was to distract me from the woeful shortcomings and inadequacies of the Minnesota Wild. So you wouldn't your feet wouldn't be put to the fire. I do have mixed emotions. I was going to start with this. We have the coaching carousel. I still think, Tenneby, now that it's official that the Cleveland Browns have hired their interim offensive coordinator. What's his first name? His last name is Kitchens, right? Freddie Kitchens. I think the thing the Browns like best about Kitchens when it comes to offense, he throws everything, including the kitchen sink, into the game plan. I think my theory that, you know, because everybody said, oh, Stefanski went back for a second interview to Cleveland. I think my theory yesterday that he just forgot something at the Marriott. He forgot some of his luggage. He forgot a shaving kit at the Marriott that he just flew back to Cleveland to retrieve it. It had nothing to do with a second interview. I tried to tell you, but you wouldn't believe me. Everybody thought Stefanski was going to Cleveland, but he was not, and he is now officially ours. Right? He's been hired as
offensive coordinator.
So he's ours, officially. It's not.
PA knew the whole time.
Of course he did.
He did.
Oh, he did?
He nailed it. Yeah, when everyone else was throwing out malarkey and other names, PA's like, nah, that's Stefanski.
Well, but if Stefanski had been offered the Cleveland job, do you think Stefanski was still going to be here?
Maybe he was never going to be offered the Cleveland job. One, I think there are owners from a PR standpoint that got to have multiple guys in here to make it look like you're doing a lot of work. Even though you know Kitchens is your guy.
Okay.
Second one is, well, if Kitchens knows we're giving him the job, we got to have the threat of another guy so he doesn't prop up the price that we're going to have to pay.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
That's how it works in business.
Okay. That's
what I'm going with.
I'm going with that it was just a hunch on his part because he didn't think Stefanski would get the job in Cleveland and then he would have no choice but to stay here. But he is extended family member, so maybe he really did know. I have mixed emotions about what happened last night in Oklahoma City, OKC, as we call it. I love the victory. It was emotional. I saw the clip There's a website I just discovered recently called The Athletic. I've not heard much about it, particularly here on The Fan. But it's called The Athletic, and they have writers all over the country. And they will... I like The Athletic, but have you ever noticed that, like... And I love them, but 9 out of 10 stories I have zero interest in. They're really minutia stuff. You know, they're talking about the backup quarterback at Century High School in Rochester. Okay, that's a nice story for the kid and his family and the people in Rochester. Doesn't do a lot for me, but they do have excellent writing and they do have stories that I'm interested in, including Flip Saunders, or flip of the tongue, Ryan Saunders' first NBA game in which he was the head coach.
Yep.
He comes out a winner. The Athletic had a, they had a tweet with video on it, I think, of Saunders being deluged. I think they waited for the Gatorade bath until he got into the locker.
In the locker.
You know why? Because if you do a Gatorade bath on a hardwood floor, the maintenance and the custodians have to clean it all up. Yeah. It's really a mess. Whereas on a field, it just soaks right into the turf, so it doesn't really matter, right? And it was an emotional moment for everybody. There were if you notice, they I think it was Towns gives him a hug, but he gave him the kind of hug where you don't touch your hips together. You know how have you ever done a bro hug with somebody?
Yeah.
Are you afraid to when you hug somebody like a friend, an old a good buddy?
Yeah.
You know, like if you hadn't seen me in 25 years, of course I'll be dead in 25 years. But you get my point. If you haven't a good childhood friend you haven't seen in a while, and you're going to give him your old bear hug, do you make sure your hips don't touch?
I don't really think about
it. You kind of go like this, and because guys will do that because it's like they're like, I don't want my nether regions, I don't want my loins to touch another man's loin. You're just hugging. You're not making a pass at
me. I don't really think about it, but I would think in general when you're going in for a hug, you're kind of leaning chest first anyway, so the chest is going to be kind of a barrier.
I just think that's a, I think that's a, I don't want people to get the wrong idea. That's what that really is. But you and I won't be able to agree on this, and that's going to strain our relationship.
I can't get through this.
Yeah, I don't. I think I can. I hope it lasts. You know, because I must admit, I didn't watch a second of it. I don't know why, because I thought, well, I watched the end of the Gophers game. I watched a little bit of the Donald. Doesn't, what's Shermer's first name?
Pat?
No, the New York, the senator that was on with Pelosi last night. What's
Chuck.
Doesn't Chuck Schumer look like Al Michaels? Take a look at Chuck Schumer and tell me I tweeted last night they have the same eyes. I was just kind of doing the bit of Cousins and Rubio that Rand Ball did. Take a look at Chuck Schumer. Put him and Al Michaels next to each other. I think they're brothers. They look like brothers. They don't look identical. I'm not saying, whoa, they're a spitting image. But I think Chuck Schumer looks like Al Michaels. And maybe I'm the only one. But I think somebody else tweeted last night, the two of them standing together.
Chuck's got a little bit more forehead on him.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah.
Chuck and Pelosi standing next to each other. Someone took the American Gothic picture, you know, where it's the old man and the woman standing there with the pitchfork. Have you seen that?
I haven't, but
it's eerie.
That's brilliant.
It's eerie. It looks except they're on opposite sides.
Yeah. That makes sense.
It's eerie when I saw it. I thought, this is right. I don't know who came up with it, but I wished I would have been the first to do it. Anyway, let's talk about only the beginning. Flip Saunders has the best winning percentage in the history of the NBA at 1,000%, or it would be 100%.
You mean Ryan Saunders then?
Ryan Saunders.
Yeah.
Keep saying Flip. He looks a lot like, you know, I've never really seen a picture of Ryan Saunders until I saw it in the paper today, or maybe it was online. He looks a lot like
he does the neck tick thing.
Does he? That's what it said.
Not as severe, but he does the neck tick thing.
Yeah. The neck tick thing.
If that's what you call it.
I think I've seen somebody else do the neck tick thing occasionally too. Oh, that's Layman. You ever watch Tom Layman? Layman does the neck tick thing. Find video of Tom Layman and you'll see him do the neck tick thing. Let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk more. We'll talk coaching carousel, what it means to the Vikings, where we're going, where we're at. And also we'll talk Gophers and, of course, the Wolves and your Wild Club. Why not? Let's talk about all four teams today here on the Common Man program on the Fan.
The Common Man.
I feel a lot of solid energy coming out of you. Good, positive aura. Great. Great. It's all great.
Weekdays at noon on the Fan.
Time for our national cash contest. Listen to the Fan every hour for your keyword and your shot to put a grand in your hand. This hour, your keyword is run. Text keyword run to 200-200 to enter. Standard text messaging and data rates may apply.
While I really love the circus sounds at the beginning of this ditty by Smokey Robinson and the Miracles, I love the bass line. Can you hear the bass line there?
Oh, it's a great tune.
I just love, well, yes, of course, it's a great tune. One of the greatest of all time, but it's also a great baseline. Before we talk about Ryan Saunders and the soon-to-be NBA world champion Minnesota Timberwolves, Tanby, I don't know if you noticed this, but I found a quote from New Orleans Pelicans head coach Alvin Gentry when talking about travel in the NBA, teams playing back-to-back games, teams playing three games in 5 nights, or five games in 8 nights. And here is his response. Quote, "That's the most overrated thing in the NBA.
Oh, my gosh.
If you're a good basketball team, it doesn't matter if you're playing back-to-back, 3-4, 5-8. If you're a good basketball team, you're a good basketball team. Hope that puts it to rest. I've fought the good fight for so long, a lone wolf crying out in the wilderness. You like the way I work lone wolf talking about Timberwolves?
Brilliant.
Thank you. That's what preparation does for you, the new Common Man program. You can hear it, sense it, feel the prep that goes into the grump. So remember, I don't want to read it, hear it anymore from media members, fans, players. It's the most overrated thing in the NBA, so says Alvin Gentry, and I trust him. I trust Alvin Gentry's.
Well, yeah, the head coach says it.
Correct. Speaking of the people I trust, talking to people and reading things about the Timberwolves' 119-117 win over Oklahoma City and Ryan Saunders' debut as a Minnesota Timberwolves coach, that game had everything. It had highs and lows. It had offensive runs by both teams. It had stellar defense. Believe it or not, there was a Timberwolves game. The score might not lead you to believe that. Isn't that kind of a high-scoring game, or is that about right now?
Today's NBA, I don't know if that is high-scoring.
That's probably
anymore,
right about right, 119-117. There were glare downs and stare downs and players looking at coaches, locking eyes, saying, let's do this. And the Wolves ended up winning a basketball game in which maybe if it would have been 3 days ago, they wouldn't have, under Tom Thibodeau. A game in which Saunders probably deserves a contract extension. Forget interim. Being handed the reins permanently, at least until no job's permanent in the NBA, except for maybe for Pop and maybe for Belichick. Those are the only guys that probably can retire on their own terms. To get 40 points out of Jermaine Wiggins, or what's his name?
Andrew
Wiggins, regardless of which Wiggins I'm talking about.
Regardless of what night he's playing.
Regardless of which Wiggins I'm talking about. To get 40 points out of Andy Wiggins is enough to, here you go. I mean, the money they're spending on Wiggins, and we've talked about it forever, or as they like to say, ad nauseum. Here's a guy that just always seems disinterested. He seems about as interested in getting into the fray as, what's Janikowski's first name?
Sebastian.
As Sebastian Janikowski is tackling a kick returner. Have you seen that video?
Which game?
I think it was against the Chiefs. Matt Burke, he and I, we text and talk more than most people know. He was on with PA today. We were talking place kickers. And he said, by the way, John Elway agrees with me. He spent some time talking to Elway about place kickers, and Elway says the exact same thing. He asked Elway, what do you think about the extra point going back to 37 yards? He goes, I hate it. Why? because you work, you drive down the field, you work your butt off to get the touchdown to give you a chance to tie the game, and then you leave it up to some kicker. But Janikowski, there's a kickoff against the Chiefs and Abbott.
Was it the 49ers?
Or maybe it was the 49ers. Watch it and look at the effort Janikowski makes. You watch it?
From the 4-yard line and a big return for James.
Now watch.
He has Janikowski to beat. And Ricky James inside the 20, the 10. He will score.
Janikowski to beat. He intentionally runs right past him to the sideline like this. Which I did tell Burke, to be honest, I actually appreciate and respect that more than the guy that fakes it, like he's trying to make a tackle. You've seen every place kicker do it. They pretend that they get faked out. So they know the guy's going to do a juke on him, right?
Yep.
That he's going to cut to the sideline, then he's going to go back out toward the field. So the kicker takes that first fake and then kind of just jumps out like that,
yep.
That fake jump to the side.
Act it up.
So he doesn't have to get hit. Why did I bring this up? Oh, the effort Janikowski made there was the effort we see from Wiggins on a nightly basis in the National Basketball Association.
Yeah.
Just complete indifference. He goes off for 40. He's got a glare down. He's rebounding, free throws, playing defense. Is that all it took was a change?
Made the pass on the game-winning shot.
On the game-sealing shot. Is that all it took was Ryan Saunders to be coached? Because we know Wiggins had a deep affinity for Flip, right? Because Flip was the one that cut the deal to get him here, is that correct? He was the one that traded Love for Wiggins. That was Flip.
I knew Cat had the deep affinity for
Flip. But I think Wiggins does as well. And so is that all it took was to get Tibbs out of the coach's chair and get Saunders in? Or is this going to be a case, we've talked about this before, we saw it when the Vikings switch coordinators, right? DeFilippo's fired. Stefanski takes over. The Vikings look like the greatest show on turf the first week. They look like the L.A. Rams circa. Mm-hmm. When was the Rams the greatest show on earth? 98, 99, 2000?
Yeah, around then.
They look like the Rams offense. Just run the ball a little bit more. But that lasted one game. And part of that is we got our offensive coordinator got fired because we're so bad at scoring points and moving the ball. So let's go out and play hard. And they did, and they were playing a bad team, too. The only difference here is I don't think Oklahoma City's a bad team.
They're pretty good.
That's a pretty good club.
Yeah.
So it seemed to work. Did you notice? Now, I know Towns was in foul trouble. That's probably the only 20 minutes. But you noticed immediately nobody had a 40-minute night. Under Tibbs, they do. They all do, right? The main players. There's two or three guys that are playing four. Towns and who else? Towns, Teague, when he's healthy, Butler. They're playing 40 minutes every night. It was spread out. Everybody played a part. Bench guys at bare. Tolliver, I think, had 4 minutes total this season going into last night's game. What did he play for, 10, 15, 20 minutes, something like that?
Well, if the Wolves are to be successful, they have to play as a team, and it's a lot easier to play as a team when you get everyone on the team involved.
Well, the one problem if your whole team isn't very good, though, that's the one problem. If you have back bench players that just aren't very good, it probably doesn't benefit you to play them, but I don't think we really know if our Wolves bench is very good because they rarely ever play, right? That's the one thing. I don't think any of us really know, and I understand why Tibbs light going with the longer minutes with guys because you trust them. You know what they can do. They're your best players. You're trying to win ball games. But, is that going to be one night out of Wiggs? Or is that – and here's the thing. And here's what I'll say. If this is what we're going to see from Wiggs, is delighted as I was in his performance, I'd still be annoyed with him. I'll explain that. Other side of the break, Common Man program here on the Fan.
Register for your shot to win a pair of spots to play on the Michelob Golden Light team in the U.S. Pond Hockey Championships January 24th through the 27th at Lake Nokomis. Register at KFAN.com's contest page now. KFAN.com. Make that keyword pond.
It ain't easy being easy, but we're easy here at FM 100.3, The Fan. These are the Wiggins numbers from last night. 40 points on 11 for 24 shooting. That's some high-volume shooting, but you know what? That's what he's paid to do. He's supposed to be a volume shooter and a volume scorer. Sixteen of 18 from the free throw line, 10 rebounds, 4 assists, and one of those assists, as you mentioned, sealed the game when he kicked it into the corner, and the Wolves scored, and that was a victory by 2. Apparently, I did not see it. I'm trusting the account. Is it Paul George or George Paul or John Ringo? Had an opportunity to win the game twice. Took a couple of three-pointers. Neither one was good, and that was the end of the game. And the Wolves win. So a lot of emotion there. All the players have, speaking of affinity, they have a it seems like a real bond with Ryan Saunders. To a man, they all said they like him. He works hard. He has good ideas. He started the game with Two Twist Raven. An old flip play, and apparently during shoot around, before the game, when he instituted that play and said this is what we're going to start with, it says that Tyus and Wiggins and was it Big Meow? Anyway, three of them all kind of just smogged. They said that's a flip play, and it worked, right?
Yeah,
they used a flip play to start the game.
I think that's pretty cool that he did in honor of his father.
I think it did. You look at the numbers of minutes the players played. Gibson, 24. I'll just leave out the seconds. 24. Wiggins played 37. He actually played 37 minutes, 37 seconds. Towns, again, troubled by foul trouble, played 24. Okogie played 36 minutes. People in this town have been pining for Okogie to get more minutes, right? And he's had significant minutes in spurts, but infrequently, right? As far as a lot of minutes in one game. And everybody loves the Okogie kid because he brings this high energy. And he's become a fan favorite. And I say fan because they don't get fans at Target at the Bullseye right now. They just get a fan. But he's become a fan favorite because of his high energy and what he brings off the bench. He plays, that's got to be a career high, 36 minutes, right? I don't think he came close to that under Tibbs. Teague plays 25. Sarchici plays 25. Jonesy, 23. Georgie, 22. And Tolliver played 20. That's a lot of minutes spread around. You don't see that. Just go back to your last Wolves game and tell me if you see those guys. Can you drop the box?
Yeah, I can find the box score.
Find the box for the Lakers game and see how those minutes were distributed. I got to think this is completely different. Everybody was pumped up. Everybody wanted to play well for Saunders because obviously this is a huge moment. Ryan's been around the Wolves forever. His dad's, is it far-fetched to call him a legend in this town? I think he is.
All right, Wolves versus Lakers.
Right.
Taj Gibson, 37 minutes.
It was 24 last night.
Andrew Wiggins, 41 minutes.
He played less, 37.
He played less in a game in which he was playing a lot better.
Yes.
So there's reason to keep him in.
Maybe.
Karl-Anthony Towns, 39 minutes.
24 here, but I think I read he was in foul trouble last night.
This has to be wrong.
Why?
Because it goes to say Jimmy Butler in the box score. I just Googled Minnesota versus Lakers. Might have been an old game.
Reminds me of the Gary Bettman interview. This reminds me of the Bettman interview.
Once Jimmy Butler, okay.
You wonder why you're in him. Go back to a box score from 4 years ago.
This isn't going to be the dramatic change that you want to know. Wiggins, 36 minutes.
That's the same.
Taj Gibson, 26 minutes.
Well, Gibson played less, 2 minutes less.
Karl-Anthony Towns, 35 minutes.
He had foul trouble, I'm told.
Okogie, 34 minutes.
So they're playing in the same. Why did we get rid of the coach? They're playing the exact same minutes. Okogie played 36.
Tolliver played 25.
All right, they're playing as much. Hold on. Give me one second.
Now, no Derrick Rose and no Rocco, so maybe you got to...
Oh, yeah, you do have to take
You got to go into the bench a little bit more.
You do have to go into the bench a little
bit. And balance it out.
So let's do a... Oh, that's what I'm missing. I have two always loved that ones. I don't have the rewind.
Uh-oh.
Can you find rewind,
yep.
Rewind for Common Man page two and replace one of the I always love that one? I was wondering which one I had dragged over. Because the rewind, we need it. Okay, so there's a lot of the same minutes being played. But it for me, it's the... They're playing the exact same amount of minutes they have under Thibodeau. Is this, can we expect this from Wiggins all the time now? And was his, I mean, there was a quote in the paper from, I think it was Big Meow, who said, he said it was the most complete game he ever watched. I know I saw that quote somewhere. Maybe it was in the Athletic story. But he said it was the most complete game he ever watched Wiggins play. And is that because Wiggins feels free from the overbearing, ranting and raving, always screaming Tom Thibodeau? Does he feel
it's
freedom
free.
There?
Yeah.
And if that is the case, that's great, okay, going forward, because, you know, we can't erase what's happened in the past. But I would still, it would bother me to the extent that regardless of who, even if you don't like your coach, you don't like your direct superior, your boss, whoever you want to call it, that you would kind of almost put out less of an effort because of that, especially when you're paid the kind of money, and that does factor into it, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you're working on an assembly line, making $10 an hour, and you don't like the foreman, I can see why you're a little bitter and your productivity. But when you're making a max contract and playing a kid's game and don't you owe it to yourself, your teammates, and the franchise, and the fans to give it everything you've got every night? And maybe he was, and this was just an anomaly. Maybe what he was giving before was all he could give, and last night was just his one of those days, his high water.
It's basically the same argument and take I had when Mike Yeo used to be here. You know, towards the end of Mike Yeo's run, and when the Wild go in one of their lengthy swoons in the middle of the season, people do the old, Mike Yeo has lost the team, they're not playing for Mike Yeo anymore. And my comeback to that was, I still blame the players for that. If mm-hmm. the players aren't trying 100% because they don't like the coach or the coach has lost them, to me, one, you're still a paid professional and you should be giving 100% effort at all time. Two, I know I didn't play in the National Hockey League, but when I used to play hockey, I never played for my coach. I played for my teammates.
Right.
I played for myself and my teammates.
Sure.
I would give 100% effort because I wanted to win and I wanted to compete. It had nothing to do with my relationship with the coach.
Correct.
So, same thing with Wiggins. If he's not giving 100% effort, we can't just...
Right.
Sorry you didn't like Tibbs. Sorry he's a little too negative for you, but you still have to try as hard as you can.
So, we'll see if there is a real sea change here. If now we go from, is it low tide and ebb tide or high tide and ebb tide? Can you look at look up the description?
Roll tide?
Ebb tide. E-B-B tide. Two different words. I think ebb tide means the tide is ebbing, the water's going back out, and high tide means the water's going
lakefront influence and out?
Yes, correct. What does it say for ebb tide? I think I nailed it, but I may not.
Well, the definition is the tide while ebbing or at ebb.
Oh, well, yeah.
A period or state of decline?
Yes. So we'll see if this is ebb tide or high tide, whichever you prefer to use. But, I mean, that's... Team plays with emotion, but is the emotion there because it's Ryan's first game as a head coach?
Yeah, wait till game number 10 for Ryan Saunders. Right. Are you still going to have the same emotion?
Exactly. Do you play with the same emotion? Do you have the same results? Again, when it's a great feel-good story. When you read that story, the headline with Fishwrap Westside is Saunders 2.0 opens with a bang. And it did. I wished I would have watched the game. because there was a lot of emotion.
It was
there.
Cool.
It was cool.
Yeah.
But whether that continues.
We saw it when Jimmy Butler was traded, right?
That's
there was kind of an immediate impact, and the team was good for a 10-game stretch. Now they were playing lesser competition, but they were playing with emotion. They were playing with fun. They were playing for each other.
We saw when Stefanski took over. Team played better. It's less time for us to play better. Of course, it was worse competition.
When Hugh Jackson was fired for the Cleveland Browns, they went on a run.
There you go. So whether or not this marks a... Like, it's a watershed moment. I'm just not convinced. I hope it is, but I'm not convinced it is yet. I'm just not, because once that emotion wears off, like we say, we'll see. They seem to have that. The other thing, somebody sent me this email regarding Big Meow. Here's what it says. It won't be long before Big Meow demands a trade. We've seen this picture before with Kevin Garnett. The Timberwolves are going to finish out of the playoffs for the next 3 or 4 years, and then Big Meow's contract will either be up or he'll ask for a trade. Well, here's what I'll tell you about that. Obviously, that remains to be seen because, you know, they seem to have some pretty good pieces on the club, and whether it's under Saunders or somebody else, who's to say that the team can't finally get to the point where, you know, maybe not. You know, they're not going to get death lineup like or Houston Rockets like, but where they are a team that can compete for a third or fourth, fifth seed in the playoffs, actually win a series, maybe get lucky, steal one at the Summit. But the other factor here is, again, a lot of it also depends too on, I would assume Karl Anthony Towns, the Big Meow, is one of those guys that would like to win a championship and wants to do so at all costs, but I don't know that either. There are some people, you just become comfortable somewhere, right, Tenneby? There are a lot of people that thought I was going to parlay the Taste Fairy commercials into a nationally syndicated radio program. I didn't. I like it here. I'm comfortable here. How about Mark Rosen? He could have left and taken a national job. He decided to stay here because you like it here. And that's the aspirations aren't any more than I like raising my family here and being local. And I don't need to be, the big fish, so to speak. I don't know if that would be in Towns. How do you know? Towns might, he might say, you know what? I like playing hoops, getting paid well. Team's okay. I love my teammates. Love the town. Love Fortnite. I can play Fortnite with anybody across the country from any city. I don't know. It all, to me, remains to be seen. A number of emails coming in regarding this situation. More on that. We'll talk some purple and some wild. But on the other side of the break, it'll be 5-3-4 time.
A number of coaching moves and changes in the NFC North today.
The Common Man.
We don't mind thinking outside the box. Doesn't bother us at all.
Weekdays at noon on The Fan.
You are all the woman I need. And baby, you know it. Couple 13, 14 passed. Couple quick emails regarding our Wolves conversation. Curtis here, our Bradshaw and Bryant inbox. This one says, Common, the minutes might be the same, but last night was a nail-biter until the end. The Laker game was a blowout, and we still played the starters that much. Big difference, which is a good point. That was another issue that people had with Tibbs was, even in blowouts, he played his starters, his key players, a large number of minutes. This one also says, they used Wiggins differently last night on offense. More high screens. Wiggins attacking on offense more. Not an effort thing, in my opinion, is what he says. That's what IMO stands for, right?
Yes.
IMO? Maybe it was. Maybe it was. It was the coaching, the way Wiggins was used,
sure,
made the difference. I don't know. I didn't see the game. That's why I've asked these questions today, just going through the account in the Fish Wrap and in the Athletic. Did Tibbs not know how to use Wiggins then? Didn't he ever set high screens for Wiggins? I don't know. I'm confused. And again, I'm not a great basketball mind.
Well, I mean, a lot of
I'm
it was...
I'm a sack racing mind.
Most of Tibbs' time here, Jimmy Butler was there. And I think Jimmy Butler's role kind of pushed Wiggins' role to the side a little
bit. You're probably right. That's exactly what it is. Well, we'll see. It remains to be... When do they play again next? Do you know? Do we have any indication? When the Wolves step back on the floor? Hopefully it's not tonight. It's hard to play back-to-back, as we know.
They are back Friday night. They get the Dallas Mavericks at home.
Ah, okay. Be
that should be a dub.
You would think.
And then the New Orleans Pelicans that next night, Saturday.
Who coaches? If you want to think coaching matters, doesn't the Dallas Mavericks coach have a highly regarded guy in his name? Matt Carlisle or Bill Carlisle or...
Richard Carlisle?
Maybe it's Richard Carlisle. I can't remember his name, but apparently he's highly regarded. We'll see if Ryan can match wits with him. Let's do some 5-3-4
time now for 5 questions. Well, actually 3, but 5 sounds like more than 4. Brought to you by Green Mill Restaurant and Bar. Question number 1.
Vikings, let's win this game.
It's now time to take an in-depth look at the state of the school.
Kevin Stefanski will return as the Vikings offensive coordinator after finishing as a runner-up for the Cleveland Browns head coach position. Common, with Stefanski back, do you expect the offense to improve next season under Kevin Stefanski?
Do you think Stefanski was really a runner-up, or was he just brought in as window dressing to make it look like that? Seems to be your opinion in PA's, that he was never under consideration for the job, that Stefanski was always coming back as the offensive coordinator. Do you think Stefanski's bitter he was used, if that's indeed what
he
was?
No, he probably made more money on his offensive coordinator job because of it, because he was basically became a free agent. Just using a little leverage.
I'd be curious to see if there's a raise involved, but there very well could be. I don't know. We talked about this yesterday, and we've actually broached the topic on a number of occasions throughout the years. I still don't know. I mean, I know coaching makes, we talked about coaching makes a difference, but I still think it's, Kevin Stefanski will only be as successful as the pieces he has to work with on offense. That's what I really believe. I believe if he would have been the offensive coordinator last year from the very beginning, the results would have been no different than what DeFilippo had. 8-7-1. Could they have been 8-6-2? Could they have been 9-7? Yeah, I suppose. He might have made a difference in a game. But I don't, and maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he will be that. Maybe his offensive mind is so creative that even with the pieces he has now, and there'll be more pieces. My guess is there would be picketing outside of TCO Performance Center, the new Winter Park, by fans if they do nothing with the offensive line. My guess is they'll make changes. But even with the offensive changes, I don't know. I mean, he's highly regarded. They didn't want to let him go before, right? He was going to go be Shermer's offensive coordinator, and we nixed that. I guess there's a rule that we can prevent lateral-type moves, or unless it's a head coach. I think you can't stop somebody from a head coaching job, I think is what it is. If a guy's got a head coaching job opportunity, you can't stand in his way for that. People seem to like him. So, yeah, I mean, again, it's a – so do you – I mean, give me the name of 5 or 6 other offensive coordinators, and I'll say that guy's probably just as good as the next guy. Isn't LaFleur, who got hired by Green Bay, an offensive coordinator?
Yeah.
He'd have been fine, I guess. Who else? What other offensive coordinators have been hired in the last couple of days? Dick Cutter?
Yeah, in Tampa Bay.
Is he an offensive guy?
Yep.
Would he have been a good offensive coordinator? Yeah, I suppose. Would he be – a lot better than Stefanski, a lot better than... I don't know. I don't believe so. I still think it's the player. So Stefanski knows what he's doing. He knows, the one thing I do know he knows how to do, he knows how to hold the play sheet up over his lips so you can't
read. That's very important.
So you can't read his lips.
Yeah.
He holds it in front of his face, just like all the other great coordinators. So I hope it works. I hope it does.
Question number two. NFL no huddle.
He just mentioned his name. The Green Bay Packers have hired Matt LaFleur to be their next head coach. LaFleur spent this past season as the Tennessee Titans offensive coordinator, previously worked under Sean McVay for the LA Rams and Kyle Shanahan with the Atlanta Falcons. Comment, does the hiring of LaFleur make your teeth chatter?
No, I'm sort of going to give you the exact same answer for this as I did for the Stefanski thing. We see the offensive coordinator / defensive coordinator coming off a season in which his unit was really good, right? And they've also had success before that. It's not like just all of a sudden one year their offense put up wonderful numbers or their defense put up great stats. But it's still a crapshoot, right? Because how many times have we seen coordinators get the job and it lasts a year or two and they're gone? I've seen it in Detroit. Schwartz. Is he the Eagles defensive coordinator now?
Mm-hmm.
He got his chance in Detroit. Didn't work. Will he ever get another head coaching chance? I don't know. Rod Marinelli. Isn't he who is he with now? Is he with Dallas? Is there?
I don't even know where he's at.
I think he might be in Dallas. I can't remember. But he was the guy that the infamous 0-16 season, he was head coach. But he was considered, wow, what a great coordinator. This guy's going to be a great head coach. I don't know. LaFleur can end up being the next. They might name a street after him in Green Bay.
Sure.
Or he might be packing in 2 or 3 years. Rodgers might not like him and go in the tank and play poorly on purpose, just like he did to get McCarthy fired. So, no, it doesn't make my teeth shatter, at least not as of yet.
What I don't understand about the LaFleur hiring is he's getting a lot of accolades for being a part of that Rams offense 2 years ago. He's the offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
Why did he go to Tennessee? And maybe if I did some reading up on him, I would find out why. But why would you go from Rams offensive coordinator position to Tennessee offensive coordinator position? Kind of a lateral move.
It sounds like a Paul Allen project, unless, Jake. Is that where you got it?
Unless it's more like a Zimmer, George Edwards situation where you're the offensive coordinator by name, but you're really not calling plays. Yeah. Sean McVay is calling plays.
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know.
You know, he's getting a lot of praise for being a part of that offense, yet I'm not really sure he was a huge part of that offense.
Well, that's it.
He went away after 1 year.
You don't know how much he really meant. That's correct. Dun-dun-dun.
Also, more coaching changes in the division because the Denver Broncos are reportedly hiring Bears defensive coordinator Vic Fangio as their next head coach. Common, will this impact the Bears defense next year?
I'm sorry, what did you say?
The Bears defensive coordinator Vic Fangio has just been hired as the Broncos head coach, so they will not have their defensive coordinator back next year.
Right. If they have that same personnel group, the Bears, for the most part, their defense will be very good. Unless the next coordinator comes in and has no idea what he's doing. If you've got great person, there is a difference, but I don't. Matter of fact, maybe someone can do the research for me because I would never take the time to do this because I don't care enough. But give me the numbers defensively and offensively when an offensive coordinator leaves one team and goes elsewhere. The team he left, what did that unit do the next year? Did they completely have the rug pulled out from under them and they went from being one of the best offenses to one of the worst or middle of the road? Same with defense. Then, you know what? I might give coordinators a bit more credit, but I'm not convinced that now that Fangio's gone, Denver's going to be great because we don't know what kind of head coach material he is, what he has to work with. And then that Bears defense, they have some pretty good players. I don't know. I would think there's somebody out there that could go, oh, yeah, I know defense well enough. I can work with those pieces. Do you think or not?
Well, I just want to make the point that I think you're going to feel the same way. I like that the Broncos, in a year in which everyone's now going offense, that's the new thing, is get these young hotshot offensive coordinators to be head coaches now, that basically John Elway has just decided, I'm going to do the opposite. Because eventually these hotshot offensive coordinators are going to be figured out.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be figured out by a strong defensive mind like Vic Fangio. And when that happens, all those offensive teams are going to fall apart, and my guy Fangio is going to be on top.
Ah.
He's just doing the opposite.
Yeah.
Everyone's going that route. We're going to go the other. They're doing. He's going against. He's bucking conventional wisdom.
He's taking the road less traveled, which is what the common man has always done. So I admire him. I hope it works for him. I have nothing against John Denver. John Elway. I don't have nothing against John Denver either. Died a tragic. Do you see where his the home he used to own in the Rock in Colorado is up for sale right now? $11+ million.
Oh my gosh.
Question number three.
Common, which Minnesota sports team was more disappointing last night? The Wild losing 4-0 at Boston, or the Gopher men's basketball team losing by 15 at home to Maryland?
I don't have an issue losing to Boston. They had a flight delay. That's going to get in your head. How long do they have to sit on the tarmac?
I don't know, but they didn't get to the hotel in Boston until 3 o'clock. 3
Nobody, you texted me last night and said, flight delay will be used as an excuse by the media if the Wild lose. I read Fishwrap website cover to cover, and nowhere was that mentioned.
What?
It was not.
Well, they did do the back-to-back thing.
They did do that. Oh, they did do
second
that.
Second half of a back-to-back.
But they didn't mention flight delay. Maybe they knew.
She wrote road weary bunch tripping into an early hole against a rested rolling juggernaut.
But they never, not once is it mentioned that the flight was delayed anywhere in the story. I would not have known it was delayed until you texted me that. So maybe Tennessee slowly but surely, we're starting to see a sea change in the way people approach travel. That we're starting to have an effect by continually beating the topic into the ground, that even beat writers now say, I can't go with the flight delay. I can still go with road weary, but if I go with flight delay, I'm going to be laughed out of town.
When are the Twins reporters going to start following along with that trend of beating that in the ground?
Yeah, I don't think that will ever happen. But your question was, which was worse, or how did you say that? Which was more disappointing?
Which was more disappointing? Which loss?
Well, for me, it was more. I expect that out of the Wild now. I expect they win, they lose. It's the same Wild we've seen for years.
They're the best of lousiest, and the lousiest are the best. Yeah.
After coming off the Wisconsin win, and that was on the road, and Maryland's a solid club. They got size up front that can play. That's an athletic team, and they had no answer. That was disappointing because, I mean, again, Maryland's good. I think they came in with an identical record overall and maybe even the same Big Ten record. And the Gophers had a lead for much of that game, but then who's the guy we love? Rebounder, can score, gets in foul trouble all the time.
Jordan Murphy?
Is it Murphy? Who's the other guy?
Amir Coffey?
No.
Free McBrayer, Aturu.
It is Murphy. Yeah, Murphy.
Yeah.
Foul trouble again. If he's not scoring, this team, I think, just has all sorts of trouble. Also, the Washington kid did play 18 minutes. That was disappointing to lose that game if you're a Gopher fan, because you want to win at home. That's not a good loss, especially when you're trying to build a resume for the NCAA tournament. But I want somebody to answer me this. I want somebody that is paying closer attention to Gopher college basketball than I once did. The Washington kid doesn't seem to be getting a lot of playing time to me as you would hope for. What is a 4-star recruit? Was he the state of New York's high school player of the year before? He doesn't seem to be developing. And, I mean, if a kid's not, if you're the coach, can you develop a guy when he's sitting on the bench? Can he learn from the bench? Or do you let him play and just, you know, I don't know, because he doesn't seem to be, he was supposed to be one of, is good a recruit as this program has had in years. And he's not contributing a whole heck of a lot, so.
That's the problem sometimes with being kind of the middle of the road team. Not saying the Gophers are middle of the road team, but one of those teams that you kind of have to scratch to get into the tournament
mm-hmm.
is sometimes you can take away players' development in return for trying to win now. Because we got to win now. We have to get in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
Yet long term, that can have an impact 2-3 years down the road. It's just like this continuous cycle of never being able to develop properly to be able to take the next step up because you're trying to win immediately.
I want to win, yeah. And I want to win now.
Question number 3. It's time now for
Station Interrogation. Who do I get to take a cheap shot at in this for this question?
Common, if you had to be on a deserted island with one KFN personality, who would it be and why?
Well, I think you might want to go for who's ever the biggest. Because if they die first and you have to eat them, right?
Sure.
So who would that be?
Biggest in terms of weight or?
Well, yeah. Who's got the most meat on their bones?
Nordo.
Would it be Nordo?
Yeah, I would think he weighs the most.
Then I guess what I would have to be.
Otherwise, Sauce. I'm probably up there.
Yeah. JG's not thin.
He's a little shorter, though.
Yeah. Yeah, but he's got
I'm guessing I weigh more than JG.
Yeah. Well, it's not even so much weight. It's how much, that, you know.
How much of the good stuff?
Yeah.
PA so that's your going? That's who you're going?
Well, I almost... Well, isn't that the first thing you think about?
I would think of who would the most helpful in terms of trying to get food. Who would annoy me?
Well, you don't like golfing with me, so you wouldn't pick me if the question was reversed. I know that. See, and then if it was like, now if you said forget deserted island, that's going to be nice balmy weather, right? If it was like an Antarctic, I'd want the biggest guy as well, so that I could, you know, if I had to climb inside of his body to stay warm after he died, right? You cut him open, climb inside.
Sure.
So if you're saying Nordo's the biggest, I'd go Nordo. Then,
You'd go Nordo?
Yeah, I'd go Nordo.
And that's it for today's edition of 5 Questions. Brought to you by Green Mill Restaurant and Bar. Well, actually, 3 questions, but 5 sounds like more than 4.
Hey, how about putting a grand in a guy's hand? Should we try to do that, Tenneby? Well, how do we do it?
And we just put a grand in a hand yesterday to one of our listeners, Robin Hastings. Won a grand in his hand yesterday just by texting the keyword 200. Your keyword for this hour is super. So text the keyword super to 200-200 to enter. Standard text, messaging, and data rates may apply.
The Common Man.
Wait. So we're just going to wing it?
Piper, there's a big difference between winging it and seeing what happens. Now let's see what happens.
Weekdays at noon on The Fan.
Join us at the Greg Marzolf Jr. Foundation Cause to Cook for a Cure on Saturday, January 12th. This fun and casual evening will take place at the University of St. Thomas James B. Wolfe Alumni Hall at the Anderson Student Center. KFAN.com, keyword events for more info.
People have emailed into booth@kfan.com, courtesy of our Brad Sean Bryan inbox, to offer up their choice for the 5-3-4 question. Which KFAN personality would you want to be stranded on a desert island with? For most of the listeners, it's either Lil B or Cardi Zucker.
Yeah, baby.
Which?
Sure. Now you think about it.
Why don't you think about it? Well, especially when, like, Lil B and I were like two ships passing in a night, and we'd like for a ship to pass one night so that we could get rescued. So that might be it, yeah. I mean, yeah, if you're going to go that way, that's like a Ginger or Marianne, right? Lil B or Carly. They're both smoke shows. That's for sure. How about this, Tenneby? I think we are getting through to people. Here's an email. Brad John Bryant inbox. Subject line is new fight song. Well, here's the email. It says, as a lifelong Bears fan trapped in a family of Packer fans, I have known my fair share of heartache and misery. But since you touched my life, I'm a new man. 5 years ago, if Parkey did what he did tonight, this was sent that night, tonight, I wouldn't be able to face the world tomorrow. But instead, 15 minutes after the game ended, I was singing a new fight song, Tenneby. And you know what that fight song is? You know what fight song he is singing 15 minutes after his beloved Bears fell to the Philadelphia Eagles?
Wah, 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 wah.
I like the horn here. Listen.
That's so good.
I am a San Diego Superchargers fan. They traveled to New England to take on the Patriots. Of all the games this weekend, that's the one that, if I could only pick one, you know, you talked about picking a KFA yeah. personality. If I could only pick one of the games to watch, that's the one I want to see.
Sure.
Dallas against the Rams, that might be good. Yeah. That might be fun.
That's the one I'd take last.
Saints
Eagles, I think, Saints-Eagles, has a little intrigue
might be,
to
that
it.
That might be fun. Yeah. And then what's the other one? Kansas City and
Chiefs
Colts?
And Colts.
That'll be all right. They're all good games, or have the makings to be a good game. But I want to see what Phil Rivers... What is it about his attitude I like? He just seems to be a... Well, part of it's probably he's a multimillionaire. He's playing a kid's game. He's got a good life, right?
Sure.
But the idea that the last time... Did I read this correct? The last time the Chargers got out of the first round... Their next game was against New England. Was that like way back in 07?
They haven't been there. Well.
And Phil Rivers got out-dueled by Tom Brady, and they asked him about it. And he said, aw, shucks. Chance to go play one of the great against one of the greatest quarterbacks in the game at their place. Chance to get to the conference championship game. Can't wait. You know, he couldn't wait.
Yeah.
He wasn't being cocky. He wasn't cocking off and saying, you know, wasn't pulling a Broadway Joe Namath. We're going to win, I guarantee it. He didn't pull a Hasselbeck and said, we want the ball. We're going to score. He just said, I'm looking forward to it. And he's a gunslinger. We've talked about that, but I like their chances in New England.
You know what I'm billing this game as?
What?
Destiny versus Dynasty.
Yeah, it is Destiny versus Dynasty. I guess that would be a good way to put it. And whether Phil Rivers controls his own density or not, well, he does if he follows a dietary regime. But I like San Diego, and I like I'm a Superchargers fan. A few other emails have come in regarding some of our other some of their other topics today. This one says, "This is in regards to Vic. Is it Fangio or Fangio?
Fangio.
Fangio. It says when he took over for the Bears in 2014, they were 30th in the league in defense." This year they were first. He goes below. This is from ESPN. 30th in the NFL in 2014. The year before Fangio arrived, improved the unit to 13th in 2017 before Chicago finished number one in scoring defense and takeaways this season. So when he was hired, they were 30th. That was 2014. I don't see anything about 2015. Don't see anything about 2016. Then the jump to 13th in 2017 and number one in scoring defense and takeaways this season. So this is, I'm not going to make the claim because I don't know the roster changes. I don't have that in front of me. And the defensive coordinator, my guess, is partly responsible for that. I would think he has input in discovering players. He probably talks to the head coach, right? Talks to the director of player personnel. The general manager says, well, I'd sure like to have Khalil Mack on my club. What do you think? And so maybe he had a lot to do with the personnel he brought in. I'm just wondering how much the personnel changed from 2014 to 2017. Because that gave him two full years before they made the big jump. I would bet a lot of it was personnel. I bet that defense turned over. And that's, again, not to take anything away from Fangio. He's probably a great defensive coordinator. But is it more the personnel he had to work with in 2014 with the personnel they were able to acquire by 2017? And again, I will say he may have had a lot to do with those personnel changes. Here's another email that came in regarding the question you had about the LaFleur character.
Yeah.
It says, LaFleur moved to Tennessee for a reason. He got to call plays for the Titans. The Wiz kid called him for the Rams.
Yeah, that was my guess.
Right. So,
but to my point, it's almost like we're giving him credit for what the role he had in the Rams offense when he really probably didn't have much of a role.
Yeah,
and
certainly doesn't sound like
it's not like Tennessee had an elite offense this last year.
Certainly not as big as McVay's impact, I would think. And then this emailer writes, says, a few years ago, the Broncos lost Wade Phillips as the defensive coordinator to the Rams, and they went from an excellent defense to not being able to stop a nosebleed. Not like it'll keep Mack and Hicks from running through our line like a hot knife through butter, but it may make defensive schemes less difficult. Love the Grum, Tombstone guy. And that very well could be. Now, that could also be wishful thinking on Viking fans' parts. I'm sure we have seen that. I'm sure there are examples of where coordinator leaves and that unit, offensive or defensive, was really good. You know, they're putting up some of the best numbers in the league, and so the guy leaves, gets a job, somebody else takes over.
New guy takes over and now you're thinking because you're not playing fast, that's what they like to say.
Right.
Right, we even had this in the middle of this season with Zimmer, right? First four or five games, he kind of got to the point where he's, maybe I installed too much stuff for these guys and we just got to get back to simple football so we can play fast again.
Yes.
So you could, I mean, they still have the good talent there in Chicago, but yeah, I could see a coordinator change.
Same in basketball too. They talked about Saunders was going to play faster. So he was going to run and gun it more. I think they want to shoot more threes. The Wolves have shot more threes, I think, under Tibbs over the last, you know, since he's been here.
Mm-hmm.
It's gradually increased, if I'm not mistaken.
It has.
But I think with Saunders, it might increase even more because that's kind of the way the league's going. But yeah, you want to play fast and loose. Maybe that's what
young,
it is.
Young, wild, and free.
That's what we are, young and wild and free. Some Viking emails prior to the Stefanski, I wouldn't call it a rehire, the stripping of the interim label and becoming the official offensive coordinator. They're interesting, though. We'll look at them next.
The Common Man.
I could have had donuts, but no, I watched your sorry ass play.
Weekdays at noon on The Fan.
It's your man of heating and air conditioning weather forecast from 1600 Utica Avenue South. I'm the Common Man, Dan Cole, spinning hot stacks of wax from the top of the racks on a sunny afternoon. We're looking for highs today to be in the mid-teens. Tomorrow a bit warmer, mid-20s. Mercury should play tag with 34 on Friday right now in the Twin Cities of Minneapolis and St. Paul. 9 degrees, sunny skies, 1976, Jay Ferguson, Thunder Island. You're home for the hits, The Fan. It is official, Tenneby.
Come on.
Tickets are now available for the next Flop, Sweat, and Tears performance.
Oh my gosh.
It's scheduled for February 1st, 8 o'clock, one show only, Marcus Theater in Rochester. The theater we're using is the large one, because we sell a lot of tickets. Seats 340, and I think they have the recliner chairs.
Nice.
So, easier to fall asleep when the material puts you into creates a comatose feeling in your brain. So,
what time will that be?
That'll be at 8 o'clock.
Where's the name of the place again?
Marcus Theaters in Rochester.
Have you got the website and the phone number just in case somebody might ask me? I always like to be prepared.
I'm selling the tickets through cinemagrill.com/commonman. But remember, it's not at the New Hope Cinema Grill.
Wow.
I've cut a deal with them to be my ticket distributor. This gets very complicated. This ain't just like selling a tarp shooter in Rochester on Friday night. There's actually some work that goes into this. But you go to cinemagrill.com/commonman. If that changes, I'll let you know. But as far as I know, that's the way it will be. Tickets are $20. That's one show only. Common, Meat Sauce, Monday Night Football guy, Larry Mondello guy. And I believe, I haven't asked him yet, but I'm sure he'll perform. I think it'll be Patrick Bauer, the son of the one of the godfathers of Twin Cities comedy.
So this is going to be like in a movie theater?
Yes.
Awesome.
Yeah. It's just like the Cinema Grill, basically. Though this will be individual seating in the recliner chairs. Cinema Grill's at a movie theater, but it's the kind where...
See, I've never been there, yeah.
There are tables. Thanks for coming to see the show.
I've seen your show before.
Well, it's not...
It's at a different location.
It's not the same every time, Tim. Cinema Grill is one of those places where you watch a movie, but they have tables and they have a full menu.
Yeah.
Where you can eat pizza, hamburgers. You would love the chicken strips, I'm sure, as long as they didn't.
But if we go to the Marcus Theaters in Rochester, they're going to have like the gummy bears and the...
I believe so.
Reese's Pieces and the popcorn and the Icy's.
Well, and I think you can also buy...
I'm going to go just for that.
I think you can buy regular food there as well.
Oh, okay.
So, we'll be giving away pairs of tickets later this month. The show is February 1st in Rochester. I hope to see you there. Somebody sent me the story from Yahoo, which I saw. I originally saw it in the Sports Illustrated piece. Didn't we talk about this? It's making the rounds now. Sports Illustrated embedded a reporter with the Vikings way back at training camp, I believe, to do a long story about, you know, the trek, Mission Miami, the trek to the Super Bowl, right? What were we calling this one again? Journey Georgia? Journey to Georgia? I don't remember what people called it. But one of the... did we talk about the Spielman part of the story? Or did we not talk about it? Have you heard about it?
I don't think we had, because I hadn't heard about it until it came back out now.
Okay. Because it was in the... I read the Sports Illustrated piece. I think I did, because it's been out, hasn't it? Yeah, of course it has. But here's what it said about Spielman. It says, Spielman follows the same routine before every Vikings home game, and this week against the Cardinals is no different. This is from the Sports Illustrated piece. This is how a general manager survives 13 NFL seasons, by tempering his anxiety and finding order in the chaos. He wakes up at 5 a.m., takes his dogs for a walk following the same route, eats the same breakfast sandwich, fried egg, bacon, and peanut butter on a wheat round. He shaves the left side of his face, then the right. He puts his shoes and socks on before his pants, leaves his house at the same time so he can arrive at the stadium at 8, follows the same route, stops at the same gas station, uses the same pump, and makes sure...
uses the same pump?
Yep, and makes sure always to end his purchase on a zero. With the way this season ended, he might want to change that routine, is what I might want to do. And the one that sticks out to Yahoo and everybody else is the putting on your socks and shoes before putting on your pants.
That's weird.
And we didn't talk about this. Well, not only is it weird, it's almost impossible to do unless you're wearing bell bottoms. How do you, if you wear, see, I'm kind of hip now with it, and wow. And they're not skinny jeans, but they're, you have straight leg.
Yeah.
What are the different kinds you have? Is straight.
Straight is one of them.
Yeah, but is straight the very thinnest? I don't think narrowest. Shouldn't say thinnest. I think narrowest. Can you find the different pant leg sizes? Because, they have, when we're talking jeans, they have, what's the word they use? Comfort fit or something. That's if you want them a little baggier. Did you find them there? Slim. What was the word we just said? Straight leg and slim. I think slim is the thinnest. It's thin, then straight leg, and then I don't know where it goes from there. And I either do slim or straight leg. If you put on slim pant legs or straight pants, there's no way you can get your shoes through your pants. You
got regular, baggy, relaxed.
Relaxed is the word I was looking
boot
for.
Boot cut.
Right?
Slim fit, skinny fit, loose fit.
Yeah. And do they have straight? Because I think slim and straight are different. I've seen them both. My point is, there are superstitions people have, right? Where they,
yeah,
they do things in a routine. You know, we had when there was one time many years ago we were going to shoot a promotional commercial in the Wild locker room. And we were told there's carpet in the locker room and there's a big Wild logo there.
Mm-hmm. Right in the middle.
Don't step on the logo. And you're like, you're kidding, right? Oh, no. No, the players have a thing. You don't step on the logo. And I'm like, you're just saying this to trigger me. And I go, no, it's true. The players have a superstition about stepping on the logo.
And they get mad about it.
Yes. They get upset. There are hockey players, and maybe in other sports as well, but I've heard it in hockey for sure, where if a guy's on a good roll, getting like a point a game, he'll wear the exact same T-shirt underneath. You know, you put the T-shirt on first and all your equipment. And they'll wear this, and they won't even, and I don't think they even wash it. They just keep wearing it over and over. And like that had something to do with their performance.
Well, what I always loved about the logo thing is media would get scolded if you touch the logo, mm-hmm. right? If you step on it. What, you're just going to forget about it. There's no intention behind it. But then come playoff time, because there's so much more media and there's national media and they don't know the rules behind not touching the logo, they'll take like a blanket and cover the logo. And then they'll rope it off. So
you're making that up.
So I'm thinking to myself, so it's disrespectful if I stand on it, but if we put a blanket and rope it off, you're still putting something on top of it.
Yeah, but not your feet, not your dirty feet, wiping your feet on us like a doormat. They don't put rope around it.
I would just put
it.
The logo on the ceiling.
They don't put the rope. You're making that up in the playoffs. To get me going.
They rope it off.
Do they do it for every round of the playoffs? Do they do it for the third round?
I wouldn't know.
Conference championship. You know what? This is the year it's going to be different, even though we just lost 4-0. I get waking up at the same time.
Sure. I understand routine.
I get taking your dog for a walk and going the same route.
Sure,
there's nothing wrong with that.
No.
Same breakfast sandwich. I mean, a lot of times, I think we're all creatures of habit when it comes to, we find food that we like.
I eat basically the same breakfast every day.
Do you?
No, I don't do it out of superstition.
Do you separate the gummy bears first before for breakfast as well? Or what do you have for breakfast?
I have toast with peanut butter on it and a banana.
Do you cut the crusts off?
No.
That seems like something you would do.
I always love that one.
So peanut butter toast and a banana.
Yeah.
Okay. He eats a breakfast sandwich Friday, bacon and peanut butter, and a wheat round. He shaves the left side of his face, then the right. So, on non-home games, does he shave the right side first and then the left, or go all over? Is it only... Because I shave the exact same way every time.
So do I.
I start... Let me pretend I'm shaving. I start with on the sideburn, right below the sideburn on the right, go down a little bit, do that. Then I go right to the nose.
Yep.
Crease between your nose and your lip. Then I go that way. Then I go to the other side and do that. Then I do the underneath last. I do the whole underneath last. Then I do my chin. And I go the corners of my mouth. And then I might go around and touch up. But I do it the same way, regardless if I'm playing at Prestwick or if I'm playing at Loggers Trail. It doesn't matter which course I'm going to. I shave the same way. So I don't even understand that, that.
I shave the same way every time.
Right, but I mean, do you think, but my question is, do you think he shaves left to right all the time, or that's only on game day that he shaves this way?
Maybe it's the only day he shaves.
No, he seems to be clean shaven.
He's always pretty clean cut.
But the one that does get me is he puts his shoes and socks on before his pants.
That's odd.
It doesn't even make any sense.
No.
Have you ever tried doing that before?
No, because why would you think of that?
Oh, I've done it before where I've put my shoes on and I have sweatpants on. I go, I'm going to go into the store. I really don't want to wear sweatpants. So I've taken my sweatpants off and put a pair of pants on, and I tried it once, and then I said I won't do that again because it doesn't work. So I don't even know
why. It's not smart.
Yeah.
If you have any dirt on your shoes, you're now getting it on your pants.
And I don't know why that part of the superstition is there. I can understand the others. I can even understand leaving the house at the same time,
yeah,
following the same... The gas pump thing?
I think that's weird.
Well, here's what I'll tell you. When they opened the newest, which has been open now for a couple of years, the newest Super America, now Speedway station by my house,
mm-hmm,
when I pulled in the very first time, I was at pump 13. And I thought that was funny, pump 13, 14.
Sure.
So from that point on, anytime, but it's over on the end too, and I like being on the end.
Yeah.
So I would, if that one's open, I go to it, but like as a superstition, if there's somebody there, I don't wait till somebody moves from
there. That
would
be weird.
And then go, and then, you know, I just go to another pump.
Yeah, what does he do if someone's in a spot?
I don't know. I guess he waits. But then if he does wait, does he take a chance on not arriving at the stadium at the exact same time? Right? Because if let's say he uses pump. God, there's got to be a cheap shot for the Vikings record with the pump he uses. Pump 8, because they generally finish 8 and 8. If he uses pump 8 and someone's there and they pump, and let's say they are a pay inside person. So then they not only pump their gas, but they go in to get a cup of coffee.
People pay inside?
Right. Maybe they want to get a breakfast sandwich that consists of a fried egg, bacon, and peanut butter on a wheat round inside,
yeah,
right? And he's got to wait there and looking at his watch and waiting. Person knows the guy running the counter because he's there every day, make a conversation for him for a little while. Comes back out, you fill your gas, you go, and all of a sudden you're late to the game. Or at least to the time when you usually get there. See, there's a lot of issues with this thing.
It makes sense why he hired Kirk Cousins now, though. Why that's his guy.
Oh, I hadn't
thought of that. They've got similar personalities. That's why they hit it off.
Yeah, that's exactly
why. That's why Kirk wanted to come here.
When you pump gas.
Yeah.
Do you round it all the time, or do you just like...
I fill it up.
So if it stops at $42.16, you just stop it there?
I'm paying with a card. It's not cash. If you're paying with cash, I understand why you would do that, but I just slide the card right in, fill it up, then I'm done. Why do I need to have a... Who cares what change it
is? I'm proud of you, man, because that just seems like something that you would do. You would zero it out. Because you're the guy that likes routine to separate your fruit
snacks.
I'm
very routine, yes.
Yeah, and you like to keep things in your pockets and stuff like that. I just thought you'd be... No, I want it to be uniform, so I'm not going to... $42.16, I want to have it $43 on the dot. I generally stop it, even paying cash, or don't stop it. I let it go, because then that's part... They always have the... charitable donation jar there. So let's say it's $42.17. Well, then I'll give them $2 and what is it? 83 cents.
83 cents, yeah.
You know, instead of, well, I'm gonna go up to 40 and just give them $2. That's the kind of guy I am. I give and give and give. So I'm about to give out, but there it is. That's how. Some people would call that crazy. And I think the only one that really, for me, is odd is the putting on the shoes and socks.
Do you want to try putting them on in video for digital?
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because we are going to do... I've already had a number of people say, did you put the onside kick attempt on digital yet? We're doing that tomorrow. I will do that tomorrow with Tennessee. We're going to meet here at 10:30 with AJ. We're going to find a place to attempt an onside kick, all because when, how do you say his name, Stanislavski?
Sebastian Janikowski.
Janikowski was injured. The punter didn't know how to onside kick, so the coach, Pete Carroll, had him drop kick it in an attempt to on, which is impossible to do because apparently it's too hard to... kick an onside kick. I don't think it is. We'll do that tomorrow. And yeah, maybe we'll do that with the pants too. Do I have to be in my underwear then? And should I wear boxers or briefs? We'll discuss that at the side of the break, along with Mark Rosen, the Common Man program, right here on the Fan.
Mark Rosen joins the Common Man next.
Give me more drugs!
On the Fan. Man.
Thank you.
12, 13, 14 pass, Common Man program. I'm the Common Man. He's 10 to be. Mark Rosen joins us now. Quick email. It says, gas fill-up controversy. It says, I usually fill up at Costco, and they have pumps, that signs on the pumps that say, please don't top off. I'm assuming that means that you don't pull a Spielman and round up to the even amount to stop filling. Or am I misinterpreting the top off part? I know it's controversial and only a topic the Common Man can tackle. It means don't pump your gas with your top off. It's basically no shirt, no shoes, and no service. That's what it means. Did you see that piece in Sports Illustrated?
No.
Oh, you've not heard about this yet?
No.
It's taking the country by storm.
Oh, is it? I thought Quidditch was taking it.
Yahoo/Deadspin picked up.
No, I did not see it.
Spielman, it was Sports Illustrated embedded a writer.
With the Vikings. I did hear about that, yeah.
And there's the Spielman part. By the way, Tenneby, someone tells me, they say, I have a source that says Tenneby puts his wallet, keys, phone, laptop, blue Powerade, and gummy bears in his pants pocket before putting his pants on. Is that your routine, or do you put them on after you put your pants on?
No, they're on there after I put my pants on.
Okay, so I'll make sure. Well, Spielman has a routine for home games. Gets up at the same time, 5, takes his dogs for a walk, same route, has the same breakfast sandwich, shaves right side of his face first and then his left.
Most people end up doing a routine. I thought so. Yeah, that's nothing unusual.
Same route to work. Stops at the same gas station, same pump, and always tops off to zero. But the one thing he also does is he puts his shoes and socks on before he puts his pants on.
Wait a minute. Puts his shoes and socks on before he...
No, he doesn't.
Huh?
That's what it says he does. That's what the reporter said. I didn't think anybody. I told Tenneby I tried it before years ago, put my sweatpants on and go, I'm going to be going into the store. I really don't want to wear sweatpants.
My shoes are on.
So I took my sweatpants off. They're easy to get off.
Yes,
but then I could not get my pants on over my shoes. And I said, well, that's stupid. And I took my shoes off, put my pants on, put my shoes back on. And I never tried it again.
I tried the sweatpant things. Yeah, because you're too lazy to take your shoes on and off again. I get
it. And that's easy to do. Yeah. I'm assuming he's not wearing sweatpants to the games.
I assume they've had the same playbook, too, that they had for...
Wow. Little negative.
They had against the Bears as they did against...
He might want to change that routine up is what he might want to do.
Yeah, he might want to change it up a little bit. Well. Yeah. Anyway.
But yeah, puts on the... do you have any quirks that you would want to reveal to people of things that you do that... Like Tenneby's, Tenneby has several. But the one that... But full disclosure, some people say they do the same thing. But one of the more astonishing ones to me, of all of them, the most astonishing, is like when he goes home at night,
right?
He keeps his car keys in his pocket, his cell phone in his pocket, his wallet, what else do you get? Those are the three things. And gum. Keeps them in his pocket the rest of the evening as he's, sitting down for dinner, watching
TV. That's crazy.
Don't you think? I mean, that's what I thought, too. The first thing I do is open up my, and my boys finally, so I can find my stuff. They got me for
a little dish.
A little dish that
makes sense.
I take my stuff and I put it there.
Change,
so I know where,
loose change,
Tenneby
whatever.
Tenneby says he does it because what if I have to get up and go to the store? I'll know where my keys and money are.
I always know where they are.
Yeah, but if you also have a little dish to put
in. Yeah, but it's
don't you think it would
cumbersome.
Cumbersome and uncomfortable.
No, it's not.
Well, but just mentally, I think.
They move around in the pocket based on where your body is positioned.
On my checklist when I get home from work, which... will be ending after more night.
Well, no, you'll be getting home from work at 3 o'clock.
At 3 o'clock. Yeah. That's the beauty of it. Yeah. I'll be living the life of calm.
You'll be getting home. How far are you from the station?
8 minutes.
Just think about it. 3:08. You'll be home.
I know.
You'll have plenty of time to get ready for Jeopardy.
You want to golf with us this summer?
I do. Yeah. Very much so. Well, I do, you guys. No, but I think
Tenneby still doesn't find that odd, and other people are
no.
Most people think he's crazy, including myself.
You try to be a little bit of a creature of habit. I mean, for me, it's I empty my pockets out. I try to keep it. I have a little area in my little small little den that I have where I keep my keys, my wallet, my cell phone. I have on me unless I have to charge it up overnight, and wash up and all that, get the sweats on, and plop down and watch a little late night TV.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's I don't have the quirkiness to the extent of of Spielman. I have a little bit of a routine before I do go on television. One of the last things I like to do is, you know, they have little Dixie cups with the water thing.
Admire yourself. You blow yourself a kiss in
the mirror? No, I don't do that. I just get a cup of water, and then there's usually a big wastebasket there. And I know it's not recyclable, like it's theoretically, but I flick the, you know, it's kind of like a good luck, you know, like
you do a good luck thing.
Some players, basketball players, like to make the last layup during the warm-ups.
Yeah.
I think it was McHale had to do that. When he was with the Gophers, I remember, even back then, somebody had to always take the last shot before they walked off, or had to make it before they left the court. In the case of some of the Timberwolves, that could have been a long time. But I think McHale did that. But there are superstitions that a lot of athletes have. So I just have little quirks I'm not really even aware of. But not to that extent that Mr. Spielman has.
No. Well, and I think the world of sports, maybe more than anything.
Oh, so superstitious.
There are players that have their, you know, they might
routines.
Not call them superstitions. They just call them routine.
Yeah, they are. And I get that. I think it's hockey players in particular.
I think superstitions.
And baseball players. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I think in most cases it's a superstition.
Yeah, especially with their baseball bats. I mean, there's legendary stories how back at Met Stadium, Rod Carew used to keep his bats, baseball bats, in the sauna.
Oh.
And keep them nice and toasty warm. So, and I think there's some truth to it. Now, you know, when Bud Grant wouldn't allow his players to wear gloves on the sidelines at Met Stadium during those, you know, days like we're having today when the Vikings played outdoors, there was this legendary story that Wally Hilgenberg, the late great linebacker for the Vikings, mm-hmm. took one of those sauna rocks and put it, you know, the sleeves that you cut out in the middle of your jersey.
Okay.
He took one that's, you know, was small enough that he was able to put it inside his jersey, and then when his bare hands would kind of go over the sauna rock and keep his hands warm without Bud knowing about it.
Oh.
You see, and then obviously when the game, you know, continued on, he couldn't go on the field with the sauna rock on him, but, you know, there were little tricks and trades that those guys had.
Well, and what's interesting now is they certainly, in the National Football League, don't abide by that rule. I mean, now they have where, the one I like is where you can take your helmet and set it on a little post, and it's got a heater there on the bench.
I've seen that.
Oh, yeah. So then when you put your helmet back on,
it's nice and warm.
It's nice and toasty warm.
Oh, yeah. I mean, no, the sophistication.
And I don't have a problem with that.
No.
It's like having heated seats in your car. What's wrong with them if you got them?
Well, I mean, again,
if you got them, use them.
But I always thought it was a state of mind. And, you know, I met Stadium, remember, the teams were on the same side of the field.
Mm-hmm.
So the Rams would come in here with George Allen, and they'd be on the same side of the field as the Vikings. And the Rams would be huddled over the heaters. And you know, Bud's whole theory around that is that they're concentrating more on staying warm than they are on the game. And, you know, there's probably a grain of truth to that, although Bud later admitted it was like it was like kind of a magic trick he just pulled. And he really didn't believe it, that despite the fact that he spent great majority of his life outdoors, hunting and fishing and doing his thing, he got cold. Let's not kid ourselves. He was cold.
This emailer says, I put on my boots before my ice fishing bibs. Works well. Yeah. I have the Carhartts.
I
have the Carhartts that I wore to Curly Lambeau Field. You know what the unfortunate part for Deuce and I when we went to Lambeau Field 2 weeks ago?
Wasn't cold enough?
We didn't get to see the Lambeau leap.
Why is that? Oh, I get it. The Packers got shut out, didn't they? They got shut out at home?
Deuce never got to witness the Lambeau.
Wow.
I feel so bad for him.
A wasted trip.
But we wore Carhartts, and you can put your boots on first because you got the zips.
Yeah, that's a little different.
Zippers like, on your legs.
Well, it's like, you know, ski pants. I mean, you could put ski pants over your ski boots if you know.
Right.
You can. I mean, you can do that. Rather not, but.
I don't think Spielman's got suits furnished by Carhartt.
No, I don't think he'd. No, he's pretty.
I don't know if they're Gucci either. I don't know if he goes all out or if he's a Foreman and Clark guy. I don't know.
I don't think.
And that's what somebody mentioned. They said here. They say, "says key thing here," and I do this too. He's wearing a suit and dress pants. I always put my socks and shoes first, so I don't crease the pants by sitting down. In addition, with dress pants, it's often tougher to sit down and put on shoes. Dress pants are much wider than jeans or Dockers, so the shoe slips right through. Wish I were still an Iowa guy.
You know, all I know is the last 3 days I've walked in here, Monday was breaking down the rules of table tennis.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday was Quidditch.
And now today it's
do you put on your shoes and socks after you, before you put on your pants? You are.
Now, my dad, I remember when I was a kid, you know what he would do? Tell me if this isn't weird. This was back when everybody smoked.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody. We're talking 60s, right?
Yes.
What was the percentage of people?
90?
I bet it was, well, it was certainly 50 or more.
Oh, I'd say it's higher
now
than that.
Now, it's, I think they say it's somewhere between 20 and 25.
Yeah, it was higher.
It might be 75%.
Yeah.
But what my dad would do if an ashtray wasn't available, mm-hmm. and he was like sitting indoors.
Right.
He would flick the ash in the cuff of his pants.
I've heard of that.
He would put the
that
ash.
That seems a little dangerous.
Well, no, because the ash is not burning.
I know, but
the ash
still
isn't burning. So he would put it in there. That's what he would do so that he wouldn't just drop the ashes on the carpet.
Yeah, but then what?
Well, then when you go outside, you turn your cuff out and let it go.
Oh, it sounds disgusting.
That's what he used to do, though.
I know. It just sounds.
That's what my old man used to do.
Yeah. He came up with creative ways, I guess.
Here's a phone call from Joe. Joe, you're on the fan. Thanks for calling.
Hey, Colin, how's it going?
Well, you know, daytime, doing all right. What brings you to the Grum today?
Oh, I was just going to comment on the whole Rick Spielman pant bit, and you beat me to the punch about 2 minutes ago. I was going to just comment about, you know, he's probably putting dress pants over dress shoes.
Right.
The cuff thing, the crease, all that makes sense. Plus, it's much easier to get dress pants on and off of feet with dress shoes on. That being said, Rosie, congratulations on a phenomenal career. I really like listening to you and seeing you on TV, so we're going to miss you, man.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, you guys have a great day.
Thanks, Joe. Appreciate that. Well, yeah, I mean, I get that, but it says, I always put on my socks and shoes first so I don't crease my pants sitting down. Well, you're eventually going to sit down. As a matter of fact, after you slip on your pants and walk out, you get into your car,
you sit down. Of course.
So is that one less time of creasing the pants going to make a difference?
I can't imagine that.
It's not going to make a difference.
No.
And with dress pants, it's often tougher to sit down and put shoes on. I've never found that to be a problem.
No. I mean, if you wear
dress pants, well, starting Friday,
I'm wearing jeans today.
But Friday, you won't have to ever again if you don't want to.
I'm not ever again,
but
pretty much.
I said if you want to.
Correct.
If you want to,
correct.
You don't have to.
No.
But you wear dress pants often for work.
Yeah.
And did you find them harder to put on?
No. Sometimes the jeans are tighter. They're harder to put on when you're wearing your jeans, I think, than dress pants are normally a little looser. At least you try them to be a little looser.
Here's a phone call from Wild Fan Man. You're on the fan. Thanks for calling.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Mm-hmm.
I've been on hold so long that I heard an ad for the new and improved Bluetooth chewables.
Well, they're going to be special. You know that.
Absolutely. So, Rosie, I had a question for you that you might know. The Green Bay Packers, as we all know, are the only team without an owner.
Mm-hmm.
So where do the profits from that team, where do they go?
Well, ask David Sinekin where they go. They're owned by the city, right, and the county or whatever. I assume that, you know, they obviously have a general manager. They have a president. So, I mean, I think they go into the coffers of the team still. And I think, you know, the city owns them. You know, they're a municipal owned team, the only team, of course. And, you know, the whole idea of having people with dividends, then, you know, you don't get paid for those dividends. It's just nice having a certificate. But I think it probably goes to the municipality, but the team does benefit. You know, obviously they have plenty of money, and they have a president, they have a general manager, and I'm sure they make a nice little salary out of it. So I assume that's where the money goes. I don't know. That's Sinekin. He's the...
Thanks for Wild Fan, man.
Yeah, I don't really know.
Thank you.
Yeah. And I can't concern myself with it. What I can is Ryan Saunders...
Oh, boy.
...is a perfect 1-0 in the NBA as a head coach. We'll talk about that on the other side of the break as we go to break. Let's try to put a grand in somebody's hand.
Yeah, time for our national cash contest. Make sure you listen to the fan every hour for your shot to put a grand in your hand. We already had a winner yesterday. Robin Hastings, a listener of KFAN, put a grand in his hand yesterday. All I did was text the keyword 200-200. That's what you can do right now. Text the keyword taxi to 200-200. Taxi. Text it to 200-200. Standard text messaging and data rates may apply.
He has the best seat in the house, and we're all better off
for it. It's Mark Rosen with the Common Man on the Fan.
It's the double-double celebration in honor of Fresh Time Farmers Markets Double Coupon Days. On Wednesday, Fresh Time honors both the past week and current week's grocery coupons. Register at our contest page for your chance to double up and win two $50 gift cards from Fresh Time Farmers Market. KFAN.com, keyword contest.
It was an emotional Wolves victory last night. 2 points, 119-117 on the road against OKC. In the very first head coach game by Ryan Saunders, first play of the game was two twist rave and an old flip play. It worked, and the next thing you know, the Wolves are on their way to a 119-117 victory. Included highs and lows, ebbs and flows.
Yeah, I'm sure it did.
Runs by both teams, defensive stops by both teams, a stare down, glare down it included.
A little bit of everything. It was intriguing.
A little
intriguing.
Bit of everything, and then a Gatorade bath for a Flip Saunders at the, or I keep saying Flip.
Okay.
That's flip of the tongue. Sorry about
right,
that.
Right,
For Ryan Saunders, your thoughts?
Well, I think from the get-go, you saw the body language of a young man who was excited to have this first opportunity, unexpected considering that on Sunday afternoon, he was doing his normal duties as the assistant coach for Tom Thibodeau, and the Wolves were running away from a bad Laker team that day, minus LeBron, and it's kind of a remote control kind of win for the Wolves. Thibodeau's conducting his news conference as he always did after the game. Actually, smiled a couple times. 2 hours later, he was
donezo.
He was donezo, and Ryan Saunders was the interim coach announced for the rest of the year. So you fast forward to last night, and tough place to win, tough place to play. Still minus Derrick Rose and obviously Rocco, Covington out for at least a few more weeks, the way it sounds with his knee. So, Oklahoma City is a very formidable team. And I think they
rose to the occasion.
Well, forgetting, look, they could easily just lost that game at the end, which is fine. But I think the big picture is watching how those players responded on the court. They actually looked like they were having fun. And, I mean, you'd see what during a timeout, Wiggins made a good play or someone, and Saunders would high-five him when he's coming to the bench. Now, does that make him a better coach than Tom Thibodeau? No. But I think that it does send
he's
a message.
He's more relatable, too, I think, maybe.
That's the key word, Common. And in this day and age, not just with the players that you've talked about, guys that are obviously even older than Ryan Saunders.
Right.
But it's relatable not just to the players themselves, but to the fans who are watching. And again, every coach has their own idiosyncrasies. I don't think New England Patriot fans are upset because Belichick's glare on the sidelines all the time that he never looks like he's having fun.
Doesn't ever offer a lot of information.
Never. It looks like he's just, he could beat a team in the playoffs and he'll give three-word answers. And,
mm-hmm.
Just win, baby, right? So, but I think this is a different animal we're talking about in the NBA. And it's not to suggest that Ryan Saunders will be the next Greg Popovich. I just think that when you're trying to continue to sell a team, there's the corporate side of it, the walk-up sales for tickets, the NBA does attract a young demo. People are into the game. They know the players. They understand it. They play a lot of video games with the NBA involved with it. Ryan has, and look, he's been around for a while. It's not like they just promoted him from the minors. He's been assistant coach of the team for quite a while. So it all kind of fit well, and I think you could see the reaction certainly at the end of the game when the Wolves survived the last second shot by Oklahoma City and the pure joy on the court, Tyus Jones hugging it out with him, Ryan's father, of course, who made that attempt and got it done draft night to draft Tyus, and Tyus playing extended minutes last night because T got kicked out of the game. Mm-hmm. And just the other players reacting.
Afterwards, in the locker room.
The water shower,
right.
They gave him a, mm-hmm. But just, they could tell. It was just, You felt like you're watching kids play basketball again.
Can that carry over to next game and next game and next week and next month?
It'll find its own level. They're going to have some rocky games and things aren't going to go well. They're going to get beat by better basketball teams. But when you watch an Andrew Wiggins play like that, and I don't know, I'm not saying it's all because of Ryan.
Well, somebody said to me, let me interject, because I was wondering if it was because he felt freed from the glare and the screaming from Tibbs. Someone told me, in their opinion, they did say in their opinion, they were just setting more high screens for him, that they used him differently.
Well,
I did not see.
He certainly used his bench.
But he scored 40 points. That's a career high.
He did more than that.
No, I know.
Yeah, so not only was a career high for that, I think it was a career high for the combination of that.
But 40 points.
10 rebounds.
Yeah, what is it?
And he made 16 out of 18 free throws. Yeah, and we know, remember, Wiggins got booed here a couple weeks ago, and he was critical of the fans as well. They were booing him for missing free throws. Well, you got to make them, at least make your share of them. Although it's really weird seeing, I didn't realize what a poor free throw shooter Russell Westbrook was. He made a couple of them last night, but he thinks like for a guy with that kind of scoring ability, he's a 60-something percent free throw shooter. Anyway, no, Wiggins looked engaged. Obviously, the big meow did as well, but the whole team just had a different sort of feel to it. And they were in control most of the game. They led. It wasn't big leads, but it was a lot of intrigue. It's going to be fun. I mean, and that's what you have to sell right now. This just in, they're not going to beat Golden State or any other team to win an NBA title this year. But if Ryan Saunders is going to be considered to be the full-time head coach, he's got a lot of games left to go. And hopefully, I think Derrick Rose will be back on Friday night. Let's have some fun. I mean, this is entertainment as well. And I think the fans will pick up on that. In basketball, which is much more intimate than football, I think fans did tire of this constant glare and Tibbs standing up the whole game and just looking.
See, I'm gonna say I respectfully disagree with people that say that. I think what they didn't like the way the Butler thing went down and Blake Kim. I think that's what the booing was for. Well, he's not the only coach or the first coach or the last coach stalks the sidelines and blows out. Now, maybe there were some fans that did grow tired of that. I don't believe that was the reason people were booing him. I think they were mad about the Butler situation.
Well, they were. No, they were booing him for it, but I think overall, you just don't get the sense that, and even though Tibbs, I found to be very engaging when you talk to him one-on-one personally, but he took on a different personality, I think. And I think just kind of wore people thin. I think corporately they had trouble selling it for the future. I think that played into the decision as well. And they decided to go with the kid right now. I mean, we've seen that. There's a youth movement, certainly in this town, with a lot of coaches. We've seen that at the university and professionally to a certain extent, where right now the old guard is represented by Mike Zimmer and Bruce Boudreau. Otherwise, we got the Patinos and the PJ Flex and the Waylands and the Saunders. I mean, you got guys that are basically in their
Baldelli.
Rocco Baldelli's 36, 37.
Who's the coach of the who's the head coach for the soccer team?
Heath. He's older.
Oh, is he older?
Yeah.
They gotta go young. I'm not asking for his head.
I hope not.
But it sounds like the youngsters are the way to go. Let's do this. Let's break. We have all sorts of calls coming in on a number of topics, including superstitions. Shoes before pants.
Oh, wow.
Saunders versus Tibbs. And maybe a goodbye to Mark Rosen. And all of that and so much more on the Common Man program with Tanner B. and Mark Rosen.
You're listening to The Fan.
Well, I'm always wrong, I guess.
What's that? Thanks for Tana for playing on my favorite music today, by the way. Thank you.
This email from our Brad John Bryan inbox. We haven't gone to a game this year strictly because of the way Tibbs is on the sideline. Constant scowl and barking were such a turnoff, we couldn't stand the guy. Signed Scott. Here's another. Common Rosie's right. Taylor's wife can't stand him, and she was all behind this, plus the fans were trying to watch the game or complaining to the office. He was annoying, and of course, the Butler mess didn't help. Do you like a coach screaming at you the whole game? High school coaches don't even do that. All right. A coach ranting and raving on the sidelines is what turned people off from him. Okay.
I think it's part of it. I mean, last year when the Timberwolves made a run and Butler got hurt, and looked like they're up. You know, they were in contention for fourth seed, perhaps. And
I didn't hear a lot of complaints.
I don't think people were complaining. You know, and they had that made the playoffs and had some exciting wins. It's
a personality trait people don't like.
It's bigger
than
that.
And when you're not winning, they pick it out.
Right. And I think, it dovetailed out of the disaster that was the Butler mess that Tibbs didn't see coming and was blindsided by. And on top of that, then, just people got turned off by the whole thing. Right. General soreness ruled. So Tibbs didn't at that time.
Bugs people that much. Coach ranting and raving.
Well, I think it's
a game.
Not just ranting and raving. I think it goes, I think there's a corporate element to this beyond the ranting and raving at refs.
Well, no, I'm not talking about the reason he was fired. I'm talking about
fans
saying the reason they don't like to go to Wolves games because they don't like the coach's behavior on the sideline. All right.
To each their own.
Yeah, I guess.
Some people don't. No.
I've seen I see a lot of basketball coaches ranting and raving.
Well,
maybe not to that extent. But I see I see it all the time.
Bobby Knight
saw it last night.
Bobby Knight had a pretty good run in Indiana.
Yes.
Doing nothing but ranting and raving and screaming at his own players.
Saw Richard Pitino upset a few times last night.
Oh, yeah.
He wasn't ranting and raving the whole game, but he was upset. Have you ever seen Tommy Izzo yell?
Constant. During timeouts, he'll get in the guy's chops right away. So will Krzyzewski.
Yeah. Ever see any other NBA coaches?
Yeah. Again, I don't think it's an isolated thing. I think it's the idea that he stood the whole game and just kind of, I think it just wore people down. And if you're winning, it's different. We just mentioned coaches that are pretty damn successful.
We did indeed.
Yeah.
Eric, you're on the fan. Thanks for calling, Eric. What's up?
Hey, thanks. Appreciate you taking my call.
Sure.
Dave, I guess first thing first, Rosie, thank you so much for all you've done over 51 years, I guess. It's fantastic, and we're all going to miss you.
Well, I appreciate that. I'm looking forward to continuing a long career here at the Fan with my friends and my coworkers, and excited about that. But I'm going to take a little bit of a break. Got a lot of personal stuff going on that I am very, very anxious to attend to. But I can't thank people enough. It's just been numbing. Is the only word I can use. Hearing from so many people, and I believe me, it's very, very much appreciated by my family.
Well, we're all behind you, and I'm glad we're going to hear you on the radio.
Thank you.
And on the Steelman thing, I guess my thing is I don't think it's good luck or bad luck. What I think it is it's attention to detail, and it's if he puts his shoes on the same way, and he shaves the same way, and he does all those things the same way every day, he's got all these things that he can concentrate his energies on. It's kind of like repetition. Practice through repetition. He doesn't
maybe that's
think
it.
About it. It allows him to think of other things that are much more important than the actual, thing that he's actually doing.
All right, thanks, Eric. Appreciate that. Yeah, it could be.
Yeah, there are.
Now, this ritual that we were talking about was strictly game day.
Yeah, that's correct.
This was a home game rituals.
Right. As opposed, we're not saying he's not saying he does that every other day of the week.
Right.
Where people have to have, they're obsessive compulsive, and they have to have their pens exactly on the dresser where they left them the night before, and keychain, and I'm sure you've known people like that. I don't know if you have or not. Doesn't sound like Brandon's one of them, but I could never live that way.
No,
I want to be organized. I like to leave, like I said, my keys in the same spot so I don't get up the next morning going, "What did I do with them? Oh, they're in my I left them in my coat pocket." And you look everywhere, and you go, "I can't. What an idiot! I left them in my coat pocket." Well, no, you want
to be never has that problem.
He doesn't. I know it. I respect him for that.
Yep. I admire him.
I do, too.
Huh? I'm going to start keeping a bulky ring of keys in my pack so he can jab me in the leg while I'm lying on the couch. Ranger Man, you're on the fan. Thanks for calling.
Hey, this is Ranger Guy.
Yes, Ranger Guy. What brings you to the Fan?
Hey, first off, Rosie, thanks for all of your insights and sports. I'm new to the Twin Cities market, but as I think back on just a year and a half I've been watching you, you kind of remind me of Walter Cronkite. You're kind of a Walter Cronkite as a sports
fan. Wow, that's quite a Walter Cronkite. Well, I'll take that. but I'll leave it alone a little bit because it's Walter Cronkite. But thank you for that. Yes, he was. He was the best.
One of the issues I had when I was getting dressed and I was working, I would put my pants on and then my shoes, because I didn't want to crease my shirt. But finally, I figured out what that white powder was on the front of my legs, and it was my deodorant from reaching down over my pants to tie my shoes.
There you go. See, that's an issue you have.
Wow.
Yep. That's... I've had that happen as well.
It took me a little while to figure that one out, but I was pretty happy when I did.
Thanks, Ranger Manny. I appreciate that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've had the deodorant stain on the shirt, outside of the shirt, or the pants before. It's happened. It does. Nothing surprises me.
No.
Jim, you're on the fan. Thanks for calling.
Common.
Yes.
Hi. I had a chance to go to my very first NFL game about a year ago, and it was at Lambeau Field. It was the first time I ever got to see the Vikings play.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been living in Minnesota my whole life, of course. And it was 13 degrees when we walked over to the stadium. So we were bundled up pretty good that night. And, of course, Vikings won the night, which was nice. But, Rosie, you've been a part of my life since I was a little kid.
Thank you.
It's not going to be the same without seeing you on Channel 4. We have a mutual friend that I went to school with from day one and graduated with in Joe Berglove.
Oh, my goodness. Joe's a special guy. What a talent. He's terrific. One of our photojournalists who's really, really good at what he does and passionate. Yeah, he's terrific. More importantly, just a terrific person. So, no, that's nice. I love, going to miss Joe and a lot of those people down there. That's for sure.
Jim, thanks for the call. Appreciate that. Here's another. I went to two games last year. Couldn't take the constant complaining and yelling from Tibbs. It was very distracting. Not a great example for my kids to see. Didn't go back this year.
Wow. Well, I mean.
All right.
Again, I think.
I guess.
When I talk about the corporate thing, it was that bad. The Timberwolves constantly get feedback. And ask for feedback from the season ticket holders and other fans. And I think that was a constant thread. Was it the only thing that mattered? No. Obviously, when they hired him, he didn't change his personality. When Glenn Taylor hired Tibbs and Scott Layden, I think if you talk to the people in Chicago, he wasn't a mellow guy that sat on his hands and knees. You know what I mean? Just was sat there and patiently watched the game like Steve Kerr does most of the time. He was Thibodeau. He was up the whole time. So they knew what they were getting, but I think over a shorter period of time, they owe the guy what close to $20 million, I believe. It's just not an easy decision to make. You know, I think the bigger thing too is that they probably could have gotten away with just hiring him as the head coach as opposed to making him president of basketball operations.
Right,
and that was probably a mistake they made, and didn't turn out to the results. Again, as this team has gone through one transition after another, after another, after another. And when's it merry-go-round finally going to stop with coaches and GMs and draft picks that don't pan out and just not ever moving the needle? And, Taylor thought this was going to be his best last chance, and as it turns out, it turned out not to be. So now he had to reboot it again and select a young man who obviously the name itself means something, and now Ryan gets to try to carve out his own name, his own legacy, his own opportunity. And it's fun, interesting watching the game last night. And you see that he did have some of the same idiosyncrasies that Flip did, the way he held the program and a couple other things that he did. He didn't do the kind of the craning of his neck that Flip was known for a lot. But there were other things that you go, yep, that's a Saunders. And he should be proud of that. I mean, it was a big moment. I think it's nice to be having, like I said, having fun watching another NBA basketball game in the long season and seeing the reaction from the players and how the fans have reacted today. Take it for what it is. It's one game, but maybe it's the start of something a little bit bigger.
Stefanski, he's our offensive coordinator. Your thoughts?
I'm surprised. I got to admit, I thought they were going to go in a different direction. I thought Stefanski, he interviewed twice, right, with the Cleveland Browns.
Second time he was just going back to get his shaving kit. He forgot about the hotel.
I hope he shaved the same way.
Yep.
The word continuity is, again, we were talking about what's going on with the Timberwolves. It's not a bad thing. I think the last thing the Vikings needed was having to go through yet another offensive coordinator. And Stefanski's been here longer than Zimmer. I mean, he's been here a long time, and he understands what's going on. I just hope that as he grows into the job, he has an opportunity to do what Kevin Stefanski wants to do with that offense as much as possible. And, he was probably the best man for the job under the circumstances. I'm surprised he stayed because I thought the Vikings might go in a different direction. maybe they wanted to and other people weren't available, but yeah, it's good. It's good for the team.
Gophers lose to Maryland at home. Your thoughts?
Make some free throws. I mean, it was you know, again, I'm sure you watch Deuce, you know, shoot free throws.
Baby brother Peter.
Excuse me.
Deuce is a runner.
Baby brother Peter. Mm-hmm. Shoot. How many free throws does he practice during the course?
Lots.
Okay. This is something, it's hard to fathom sometimes how many free throws. And that's not the only reason Maryland turned out to be a better basketball team down the stretch, but that was still a winnable game. The Gophers had a lead with about, you know, 8-9 minutes to go. Certainly could have. They didn't get a lot of production out of Coffee. And Jordan Murphy, again, getting in foul trouble. You know, little things like they have to have those guys operating at full capacity when they're at home in particular. So, but the missed free throws were just alarming last night. You know, they'll bounce back against they'll beat Rutgers here on Saturday. But
how do you know? Game,
well, I don't know. I'm just saying that they all should. Right. And Maryland's a nice team. You know, a very good team. They're not in Michigan and Michigan State's class, and that's why those are the ones. After beating Wisconsin on the road last week, you want to come home and beat a good Maryland team and, you know, improve your resume a little bit, and unfortunately it didn't happen last night.
Ask Rosen. It says, what is Pitino doing regarding Isaiah Washington? Pitino's messing with the best recruit we've had in a long time. Kid needs to play. He learns nothing sitting on the bench.
Well,
Pitino needs to coach the kid on the floor, not on the bench. He's clearly the best point guard on the team and the most talented. I think we'll be reading about his transfer fairly soon. I would not sit on the bench behind the guards he has ahead of him on the roster. Also, Jordan Murphy seems to be regressing as a senior. He's regularly getting shots blocked and is not the dominant inside player they need.
Agree.
He seemed to be developing a wing shot last year and seems to not shoot from more than 2 feet from the basket anymore. What do you think about both those?
Well, Isaiah is, Pitino sees him in practice every day, and you know, he didn't get off the bench, I don't think, against Wisconsin, and they did pretty well without him. He, even last night, a couple times where he drove the lane, he gets out of control in a hurry. He's got a lot of skill, but you know, he makes some not real good decisions sometimes. He should have kicked the ball back out a couple times last night where he tries to force things. And you know, point guard's more than just, you know, running the off. I mean, dribbling and being, you know, being in a position to try to create a shot for yourself. And so I agree with you. I think on paper he's probably the most talented kid, but Pitino's not going to not play him if he feels gives him the best opportunity to win. So there are other elements to his game that are obviously aren't translating in the course of a game as opposed to what he's even seeing in practice. And yeah, Murphy, he's got a lot of skill, but I agree. He doesn't have the same. Last night was disappointing.
He got in foul trouble again early.
Yeah, it's just, you know, he ends up always getting one or two of these really ticky-tack fouls where he just.
And a foul, he shouldn't even
do that.
Yeah, there's no even reason to try. Let the guy get the bucket there. Just let him get the bucket.
Or it's a loose ball fall. He makes that last move. You know how the officials call it. It's probably ticky-tacky a little bit, but still, you can't put yourself in that position. So, look, they got a ways to go. They got some nice talent, but they don't have that go-to guy all the time on this basketball team.
Emailer says, did I hear that right? The guy said Rosen is like Walter Cronkite?
That's got to be Barry Mandel, guy.
But then he goes, actually, it makes sense. Cronkite tearfully told us about the death of JFK. Rosie tells us about the death of every Minnesota sports team every year. And that was Larry Mandel, guy.
That's, you know what? That's a good line.
It's not a bad line. It's
not at all.
But it's because he's Larry Mandel, guy.
Well, he is Larry Mandel.
Michael, you're on the fan. Thanks for calling.
Hey, thanks, Colin. Sure. Doing well today.
What you got?
Well, just wanted to make a quick comment in regards to the Wolves real quick. But, I mean, I think one thing with Tibbs, and obviously, you know, he had a style. He's been here for, you know, what, 2.5 years and such. And it wasn't so much, I think, that fans are just kind of sick of the old grumbling and grunting and such. But, you know, with Townsend, Wiggins, and even with Tyus and Gorgie, again, because these are flips guys, I think no matter who the coach is, and if it is Ryan next year, it's great. And it's one game, but that connection that those guys have, which is even great to see when they talk about, you know, if it's on social media or when they have, you know, interviews and such, I hope whoever does come into this organization from even a front office standpoint really emphasizes what Flip's vision was. You don't bring it up every single day, but you can just tell how much that they feed off that.
Mm-hmm.
And it was great to see, and you just take it one game at a time. So that's great for them, and it's wonderful to see, and I just hope that that's emphasized a lot more.
Well, it's a great point.
Thanks for the call.
Very good point, and I think that's the connection that Ryan, you can tell it when Tyus in particular, the hug he gave Ryan Saunders was real personal. obviously Ryan has worked with him a lot in practice day by day after day when Tibbs is running the team, but it's more than that. When you have Wiggins and Karl-Anthony Towns, and after what happened with the Butler situation, and you're going, well, these are the two guys you got to build this franchise around. You know, Wiggins is an all-star type talent, and he just kind of scratching the surface. And then you watch a game like last night, and you go, and I tried to defend the guy the last year, year and a half, and then I get hit my head against the wall after a while, going, God, it looks like he doesn't care. And, you go through the normal sort of routine with him. Then you watch him last night, and you're going, this guy is unbelievable. I mean, he's got, I mean, not just scoring the ball, doing other things last night. He got a rebound last night, that second, third effort that you go, where's this been? Where's this been? And you don't give up on it. And that's like, is this, if this is going to be a sign of things to come, I'm all in. And if that's the way it's going to be with this kid.
Email, the subject line says, I'll miss you, but it's with a different twist. It says, hey, Common, we will all miss Rosie. He's the best, blah, blah, blah. But after 12 years, I'm switching jobs. I've had my own radio and have arranged my day around listening to you. And now I won't be able to anymore. I'm heartbroken.
What?
I'll try to podcast and listen when I can, but I'm going to miss you, signed Sarah. She's changing jobs.
Right.
She can't listen to the grum while she's at work. And so she's got to try to, it's devastating. You talk about Spielman routines.
Right.
She arranged her day around my show.
She can listen to the podcast in the iHeartRadio app.
Well, that's what she said. Oh. She said she would try to.
Yeah, she'll try to do that.
But what I'm saying is that doesn't do me any good or you any good. We like that they listen to the podcast, and it's wonderful. But because they can't listen live,
and that's a big difference. Sure.
It hurts.
Hurts
it
you and me. Her.
Yeah, and my bank account.
Right.
Mark Rosen, thank you so much. We'll see you again tomorrow. You're going to be from the Edit Bay, right?
Yeah, I got kind of a busy day tomorrow.
I definitely will
check in with you guys.
It'll be emotional.
I hope the Edit Bay's still there.
Yeah.
They may have locked it and thrown it away.
Let's hope not.
It's possible.
Mark Rosen, we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thank you, sir.
Tennessee, thanks for having me.
Hey, great job.
You too. We're back tomorrow at 12 noon. Hang around. Dan Barrero and JG, they're next.
Well done, young man.
Good night, folks, and good night, Mrs. Calabash, wherever you are.
Listen back to a podcast of today's show. Visit the Common Man channel on the iHeartRadio app or go to KFAN.com.